Week 4 of college football is in the books, and we've got some games to talk about. The latest AP poll is here. We also have some news to drop for the Florida State-Miami game, as well as some ACC schedule format changes coming. What is up, Mole Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spear, and thank you for joining me for this Week 4 reaction episode. This was actually supposed to drop on Monday, but it's going to be now on coming out on Tuesday. It will be Monday from now on. This is a new show that we're trying to do on the channel here. I have some time on Mondays where we just go back and we look at the games from around the country that are relevant to Florida State. That's what makes this reaction show a little bit different. Sure, we're going to talk about the big national games, things that have playoff implications, but we're mostly going to stay focused on Florida State and the teams that we play on our schedule. So that way we can use this to keep our finger on the pulse of what's ahead for Florida State, some of the teams we've already played and how that builds into our resume and things like that. So of course, as you can tell, we're a Florida State centric channel here. So we're going to keep everything FSU as possible. Hope you guys are doing good out there. It was a good weekend of college football. I watched from home. I was able to get out, put some stuff on the smoker, have some good food, hit a little four-game parlay, which made Saturday a little bit sweeter there for the home team. But guys, let's jump right in because we have a lot of ground to cover in this episode. First up is the AP poll dropped on Sunday, and unfortunately, Florida State also dropped one spot in the poll. Now, I understand there's a lot of people who have not been thrilled about this, maybe a little bit upset. Guys, I don't really think it matters this early in the season, right? You did get jumped by Oklahoma, who beat a ranked Auburn team at home. Right now, Florida State's pretty much just being punished for your schedule because as that Alabama win, as impressive as it was, and it still may end up being the most impressive win of the season, as that moves farther in the rearview mirror, college football is a big sport on what have you done for me lately. And Florida State has played two cupcakes with a bye week in the middle. You're just kind of being punished for that. Now, I don't really care because the schedule sets up nicely for Florida State. That was a good period for us to kind of get things in rhythm, get things rolling, get some guys healthy, but it's just going to drag down your resume a little bit. But here's the thing I want you to remember. Coming up, the next 2 weeks are going to go a long way in defining this Florida State program and their resume. You have to go on the road this Friday night against a solid 3-1 UVA team that is basically one play away from being 4-0 if they don't get picked off in the end zone against NC State. Then you also have the number 2 team in the country coming to your place next Saturday. You also have Alabama going to Athens to take on Georgia this Saturday. And so depending on how these next kind of those three games go is really going to determine a lot on how your resume looks. So I just caution you to kind of pump the brakes. Don't worry about it now. If you handle your business the next 2 weeks and maybe even Alabama goes and pulls that upset, Florida State will find itself where it wants to be. But looking at the top 10 here, Ohio State remains at number 1. Miami jumps to number 2. Penn State 3, LSU 4, Georgia at 5, Oregon comes in at 6, OU, who is now ahead of Florida State at 7, Florida State at 8, Texas A&M at 9, and Texas somehow rounds out the top 10. I don't really know how they're still top 10 there. But again, guys, you're going to have your chance, so don't worry about it. I know some people are thinking, I've seen some comments on our social media about, well, you know, I just don't want to get left out again. Do keep in mind, there are these things called automatic qualifier bids now. So you can take the decision out of the committee's hands by just winning all your games. It is not the same situation as it was in 2023. But with that being said, if you're trying to go for an at-large bid, these things do matter. And so that's why first you have to get by UVA. But that Miami game is going to be huge because the way the rest of your schedule looks, that's probably going to be the last ranked team on your schedule the rest of the season. So that would be another big resume booster for Florida State. But again, you fall one spot. You're still in the top 10, even as a team that was not ranked in the preseason. Although, if you guys watch this show, you already know my feelings on the AP poll. I can't stand it. There's too much preseason bias put in it to begin with. And so, like I said, don't worry. The next 2 weeks are going to go a lot to prove one way or the other, especially when you play that Miami game. Now, speaking of that Miami game, guys, we are not looking past UVA. Trust me, I promise you that. The team is not looking past UVA because we're talking about Miami here on this YouTube video. But the game time has been announced. The kickoff time has been announced for Florida State Miami, and this is exactly what we wanted. 7:30 kick, night game in a sold-out Doak Campbell Stadium, nationally televised on ABC. If Florida State handles their business up at Charlottesville on Friday night, Miami's on a bye week, so nothing's going to change for them. This will set up a top 10 matchup inside Doak. That will be the first time since 2013. And if you guys listen to this channel, you know I still talk about that game 12 years later because it was one of the wildest atmospheres I've ever been to at a college football game. Doak was absolutely insane. And I'm sure this will be on the same stage. Again, you got to go up to Charlottesville and handle your business first, but this does set us up for a massive, massive game in Tallahassee next week. So again, Florida State, Miami, 7:30 kick on ABC. The next bit of news here, just as I hinted in the beginning of the show, the ACC is going to move to 9 conference games with a 10th game being required against a Power 4 opponent. Now, Florida State doesn't play 9 conference games, but we pretty much have always played 10 Power 4 opponents with Florida being our permanent opponent. So it's not going to change a whole lot for Florida State. You're just going to add in one extra conference opponent every year. Obviously, you guys know with 17 teams, this is an odd number. This is a very ACC-like move. To where I think they said one team is going to probably play like 8 conference games a year and everyone else will play 9. It doesn't make any sense. To me, they should go ask about adding Memphis because they look pretty good. They just upset Arkansas at home. But that's the way it's going to be. And so we'll see how it shakes out. I'm not sure if they're going to yet go to the SEC model with the 9 conference games where you have 3 permanent opponents. That's how it was before in their last however, it was a 3-5-3 or something like that schedule that they did. So we'll see. We'll keep you informed on that, further details coming. But it will be a 9-game conference slate. Some will begin in 2026, but it should be rolled out by 2027 once finally approved. Now, I know that you know the ACC is still not the greatest conference out there, right? So it's not adding – you're going to be adding another conference game in there. But I think it's good. I think everybody should go to this. I understand why we play the lower level games. I get it. I think they're, you know, good for tune-ups. I think they're good for supporting those athletic departments financially, but this is how it should be. You know, the ACC is pretty much just following in Big Brother's footsteps. The Power 2 have already made these moves. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes, right? Now, let's jump into the games that we're going to talk about. But before we do that, let me bring you a word from today's sponsor, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. Look, if you guys are watching this, you're probably an FSU fan, so you probably could use some new FSU gear. And make sure you check out our friends over at Alumni Hall at 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee. They can get you right for game day from head to toe for the whole family. You can also shop online at Alumni Hall FSU and make sure that you tell them we sent you and save 10% with Coach Spear. So thank you guys for supporting those that support us. Now, let's get into these games. We've got a few to talk about here. Again, we're going to keep this really centered around Florida State and the teams that we play on our schedule because this is our opportunity to not only focus on our team, but to look around at what everybody else is doing because to me, you know, when I do all of our scouting and stuff like that for our shows, this is equally important what the other team brings to the table. So we're going to talk about those. Some notes here as we move forward. Pitt and Wake were on a bye, so we won't be talking about them. Alabama was also on a bye, but keep in mind, like I said, they do play Georgia in Athens on Saturday. That's going to be one Florida State fans are going to want to be tuned into to see how that game goes. Stanford we'll discuss when we talk about UVA, and of course, Florida we'll talk about when we discuss Miami. But let's go ahead and start with the Florida State game. Let's start with our game here. Now, we did a post-game show. Make sure you guys go check that out. But I'm just going to share some quick thoughts on this game. Look, it went exactly how you were supposed to. I saw a graphic on Twitter, shout out to Stats of War that puts these out every week. And I think it's a difference in net success rate. And he always titles it, "How badly did we get beaten?" Well, it goes from the worst on the left to the best, basically the biggest victory on the right. And Florida State was over to the right and way up above everybody else. So the thing is, you literally, I know it was an inferior opponent. I understand that. But you literally beat them worse than any other FBS team, or at least that was on this graphic, last week. And so you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You come into this game, a 44.5-point favorite. You win by 56. And as we always say on the show, the old saying goes, good teams win, great teams cover. So it's not so much about the opponent. It's about how you beat them. And that's why I think the Alabama win is so big. You know, there's this crazy narrative, especially amongst Miami fans, where mostly them, if we're being honest, are trying to downplay our schedule. Oh, well, you've played 2 cupcakes. Guys, we're 3-0. You're forgetting that first game that happened. And then everyone tried, and then they rebuttal with, well, that's not the same Alabama team. Well, you don't know that that's not. What if they go into Athens and beat Georgia next week? Is that still a bad Alabama team? If they lose by 30, okay, then maybe I'll agree with you then. But in the same sentence, they hype up a 1-2 now Notre Dame and a 1-3 Florida. And it's like, that's just not the way it works. So I know Miami fans are going to find the comment section. So, you know, come at me if you want to, but I'm just telling you the facts. The Alabama team is still a good team. It's as good as any win that they have on their schedule. But again, it's about how you beat them, and you took it to them in that game, just like you did these last two games. I know these opponents don't really move the needle, but you're still winning games like you're supposed to. And, you know, the thing about, I was telling somebody this the other day, I'm sure you guys have probably heard the saying, trust but verify, right? And I think that's where I'm at with this Florida State team right now. I trust what I have seen against Alabama. I trust what I have seen the way you smashed two lower level opponents. I trust that. But I'm also ready to verify what I saw with another game against a good opponent. And that's what we're going to see on Friday night against UVA. Let's be honest. These two games did not move the needle for me. Yes, you beat them like you were supposed to, but I'm ready to see Florida State play another game like they did against Alabama, against a team that actually has a pulse, right? And that's going to be on Friday night against Virginia and then Miami after that. So I'm ready. Like, I love, after last year, I'm not going to complain with a 56-point win or a 74-point win. I don't care who it is. I don't care if they're playing, you know, Leon County High School. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to take it, right? Because all wins should not be taken for granted after last year. But I, too, am ready for Florida State to start playing the meat of the schedule. But it just, this is the way it happened to set up. You now have basically a run of conference games leading up to Florida from here on out. So it's all business from here on out. But again, Florida State puts up big numbers against Kent State this week. As you can see, school record 775 total yards, 498 rushing yards, also a school record, as well as 8 rushing touchdowns and 26 first downs in this game. Florida State scored 65 points in consecutive games for the first time since 1992. Now, I understand it's probably because you had two bad teams back-to-back, but remember, guys, Florida State was a dynasty through most of those years after 1992, so they've been playing good football for a long time. So to do this is very impressive, and it just shows you that, man, the Gus bus is absolutely rolling right now. You're just setting offensive records, which, again, man, is nice to see after you had a historically bad offense last year. When we talk about some of the things we saw in this game, it was nice to see a couple of guys go off here. You obviously had Gavin Salchuk have a big day, his best day so far for Florida State. He goes for 11 carries for 97 yards and 2 touchdowns. Sam Singleton had a breakout day, 10 carries, 86 yards, 8.6 yards per carry and 2 touchdowns. But really, the story of the day was Mekhi Dansey. I think that's where you have to start. I mean, this kid, for a redshirt freshman, has become a real weapon for this offense, and I love to see it. So far this season, these numbers are almost unbelievable, right? We knew that track speed was dangerous, but now you've seen him be able to make plays on the football field. The catch that he made against Kent State was just unbelievable. So he's got hands too. You just got to find him ways to get the ball. And Gus Malzahn's been good about that. You know, that reverse is almost like a calling card now. So once people really start keying in on that, I'm sure it's still going to work eventually. They're eventually going to hand that ball off, and it's going to go for big yards that way too. But talking about Dansey here, so far this season in 2025, he has 9 total touches. He is averaging 33.2 yards per touch. 6 of those 9 touches have gone for over 25 yards, and 3 have gone for touchdowns. It is unbelievable what he has been able to do so far as a redshirt freshman. So, man, really impressive stuff. It's nice to see him emerge along with some other guys. You know, we've seen Squirrel White flash in the Alabama game. We saw Deuce flash in the East Texas A&M game. They didn't play, or he did. Squirrel didn't play in Kent State. I believe Deuce did play. He did play against Kent State. Didn't really do a whole lot there. You know, but again, Florida State hasn't had to throw the ball a lot either, and I think they are going to against Virginia. But keep in mind, we're going to talk about that game. We have a full Virginia preview coming for you guys this week, so stay tuned for that. I think the defense also did good on the day here. You only gave up 206 yards, 163 passing, 43 rushing. And remember, 75 of those passing yards came on one play. So you held them under 100 yards the rest of the game. Outside of that one long pass play, I think defense did really good. Florida State put up 10.4 yards per play compared to 3.96 by Kent State. But here's one of the stats that really stood out to me. 58% of Kent State's runs were held under 2 yards or less, right? Meanwhile, Florida State, 75% of your runs went for 4 yards or more. So that tells me that Florida State was clearly winning at the line of scrimmage. And that's something that we've seen from them this season, even against Alabama. So you're going to need that again on Friday night against Virginia. And, you know, when we talk about Danzy, I meant to say this earlier, he is currently number one in the ACC and top five nationally in plays over 30 yards as a redshirt freshman. So great stuff coming from Danzy early in the season. I'm ready to see him do it against some other teams as well now. But, you know, getting back to Florida State, I understand this Kent State game, right? They are 1-24 in their last 25 games. So you're not going to take a ton away from this. UVA is going to be a much bigger challenge than what you saw the past 2 weeks. You're also going to be a much bigger challenge for UVA than they've seen so far this season. But this is your first road game, your first night game, your first ACC game. And it's a potential trap game coming right before that game against Miami at home at night against a top 10 team. So this game has bad juju written all over it, right? When we talk about that Virginia game. But, you know, Florida State, you just got to go up there and you got to handle your business. Again, we're going to talk about that UVA game going forward tomorrow. I believe we're going to do our on Wednesday, we're going to do our preview, and I should have that rolled out for you guys shortly after. This is what's crazy. Now, I understand the competition aside, but Florida State is currently the number one scoring offense in the country, number two rushing offense. Tommy Castellanos is third in QBR and number one in big time throw rate among FBS quarterbacks. So, man, he is pushing the ball downfield with success. He's making good decisions. He had one interception against Kent State, kind of a fluky play. Not too worried about that. But, you know, I understand people are going to say the competition and the games and all that stuff and conveniently gloss over Alabama like they always do. But I don't care. After last year and having a historically bad offense, man, I'm not going to complain about who it was against because you have the number one scoring offense in the country. So let's just see how they maintain it against better teams coming up against UVA, Miami, and the schedule going forward. Guys, if you are enjoying this episode, if you're watching this episode, chances are you're a Florida State fan and you like Florida State content. So why not like and subscribe to stay connected to your source for fan-driven FSU content here at Plant the Spear? It's free to like, and it really helps us out with the channel, helps us grow and reach other Noel fans. We really appreciate that. We're pushing for 3,000. I think we can do it together. If you guys just smash that subscribe button, hopefully we can hit that number. Again, you guys are just as much a part of this show as we are. So moving on, talking about some other games here, let's start with the game that is coming up next, and that is UVA versus Stanford. Now, we saw them on Saturday night. UVA gets the big win here, 48-20 over what we know is a pretty bad Stanford team, 1-3 on the season. But, you know, again, Virginia is 3-1, and they are probably just about one play away from being 4-0. They threw a pick in the end zone against NC State. And when you look at it, the guy, he threw the ball, I think, to the right. And if he'd have thrown it to the left, probably goes for a touchdown pass, and they probably end up winning that game. So this is a scrappy UVA squad. It's a good team, right? And when you're looking at what they did in this game, they put up almost 600 yards of offense, 594, 384 pass, 210 rush. And, man, the Chandler Morris kid that got there at quarterback, transfer from North Texas, who was previously at TCU and Oklahoma, he's lighting it up. I mean, he is the leader of this offense, right? They got some good pieces around him as well. But, man, 23 of 31, 380, 4 touchdowns. Also had 5 carries on the ground for 19 yards and a touchdown. So almost 400 all-purpose yards and 5 total touchdowns against Stanford. Again, that's not a good defense, but the kid's balling. So, I mean, you can't really take that away from him there. And, you know, I don't think Stanford has given up over 400 yards this season, as bad as they are. And UVA put up almost 600 on them. So, man, this offense is humming right now. On the flip side of that, the defense is not that balanced. They are not that great. 323 yards allowed to Stanford, 286 through the air. Only 37 on the ground, though, but it was about 80 yards before you adjust for sacks, because they did get to Stanford 5 times in this game. But UVA put up 400 yards and 28 points in the first half. And, you know, I mean, both teams missed a field goal in this game. So UVA was a missed field goal away from feeding Stanford a 50 burger. And then Stanford almost put up 23 on them. And so really when I look at this game, I'm like, if Stanford had the opportunity to put up 23 points and did put up 20, Florida State's offense, at least from our understanding right now, is miles ahead of where Stanford is at. So you would expect Florida State to be able to score on that Virginia defense. But, you know, when we talk about Virginia, they have now played two Power Four defenses, and they put up over 500 yards, rushed for over 200 yards, and scored over 30 points on both of them. So Florida State's going to have to – their defense is going to have to strap it up, you know, and come to play on Friday night. But I will also say that both of those Power Four defenses they faced have been ranked outside of the top 100. So those are two bad defenses that they have faced so far, including NC State, who has given up over 400 yards in three out of their four games this season. So, man, again, you're going to be in for a challenge, but I think Florida State's defense will by far be the best one that Virginia has faced. You only gave up 341 yards and 17 points to Alabama. Talking about Stanford here, because we do play them as well. Look, these guys are still struggling. They are still not good. 118th in scoring offense, 110th in scoring defense. They've been held under 50 yards rushing twice in four games. They're 112th in sacks allowed. Somehow, I don't know how, they managed to beat Boston College last week, but it was at home. And that West Coast trip can be a little bit tricky. They rushed for over 200 yards in that game. BC doesn't really look that good this year. So again, Virginia gets the kind of blowout victory here over Stanford. Man, they got some momentum going into this Florida State game. So Florida State is going to have to be focused and bring their A game for what is going to be a tough test in Charlottesville on Friday night. Now, the next one we're going to talk about, you know, we weren't going to gloss over this game without a doubt. We have to talk about this. The what I refer to as the I Hate Them Both Bowl. And that is Florida versus Miami. The Gators travel down to Coral Gables and take another L on the season to start 1-3. Worst start for Florida since 1986. And I'll tell you what, guys, I have watched a little bit of Florida, not a lot of Florida. I watched a little bit of Miami, not a lot of Miami until this game. I got to watch both of them at the same time. That Florida offense is as bad as advertised. It is putrid, right? 141 total yards on the day, only 61 yards passing on 23 attempts. That is 2.7 yards per attempt. I don't know that I have ever seen yards per attempt that low. That is just abysmal. No passing touchdowns. Lagway did not throw any interceptions this week, but he was also sacked five times. So five interceptions last week, five sacks this week. That offense is just dead in the water. It can't do anything. But that defense is not terrible, right? I mean, they held Miami to 26 points, and it's kind of tricky at the end of this game, right? And I also want to talk about when we mentioned the Florida offense, I do want to say that, look, I hate them as much as you guys, and I know there's probably going to be some of them in the comments here, but Miami's got a good football team this year, right, down there in South Florida. They got a pretty good team, but for the team that likes to poke holes in our schedule, I can do the same, but we're going to talk about that in just a second. But the reason I say that is Miami's defense looks night and day better than it did last year. Now, you haven't played a ton of good offenses, but, man, they look a lot better than they did last year. They're playing well. They got good play on both sides of the trenches there. But they hold Florida to 141 yards total in the game. And the thing is about this game, Florida had zero turnovers and only three penalties. So it was not really a fluky type of win. Miami just beat them. They were just a better team on that Saturday, but that's what was expected. You know, when this game came out, I think it opened something wild, like a 3.5-point line jumped up to like 6.5 or 7.5. I thought this was going to be a 3-score game, not a 3-point game. And so that's kind of about what we ended up being here. But when we talk about the score in this game, what I do find interesting is, so Miami did kind of get gifted a late touchdown when Florida had to go for it on fourth down, you know, inside of, I believe, their 30, and they didn't make it. So Miami got the ball basically in the red zone driving, and they went down there and scored to put the game away. And so they kind of got gifted that touchdown. But Miami fans, pump the brakes before you come hate watching in the comments. I do think they took a touchdown off the board for Miami with a completely blown call there on forward progress, blowing the whistle too early. They took a touchdown off the board. So the score was probably going to be 26-7 anyway. But the takeaway for me was this game was actually a 1-score game in the fourth quarter. It was 13-7 with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So for such a terrible offense, I mean, when we talk about Florida, 32 yards and one first down in the entire first half. I don't even know what to say about that. That is abysmal. Matter of fact, here, let me drop a stat on you real quick. So we know Florida State had a historically bad offense last year, right? But we started with a bunch of Power Four teams, and then Memphis as well, a Group of Five team. But if you take Florida's first three games against FBS teams and you factor out the Long Island University A&M Tech that they played in game one, who anybody could have beat 55-0, when you look at this, Florida State's offense in 2024 through their first three FBS games averaged 274 yards per game and 15.3 points per game. And that was a historically bad offense. Florida through their first three FBS games, counting out the FCS team, is averaging 287 yards per game and 11 points a game. This offense stinks. So I don't know what they're going to do. DJ Lagway has been, they've put out today that he is in a walking boot. I don't know. They've got a bye week. Does he come back? Was that the last game we ever saw Lagway play in a Florida uniform? You know, maybe does he hang it up for the rest of the season and see what they do with the new coach? Because I don't think Billy Napier is going to survive the rest of the season. I mean, it's only going to get worse when you got Texas A&M, Texas. You know, I think six of their last eight games are against ranked teams. And one of those teams that's not ranked is Mississippi State, who's 4-0 right now. So, man, it's just going to be tough for them. But, hey, Florida fans, at least you can rest assured knowing that Dan Mullen is currently 4-0 at UNLV. So maybe you shouldn't have fired him. So, anyway, on to Miami. Now, that Florida defense, again, is pretty legitimate, right? I think coming into this, they had only given up two touchdowns in the entire like first three games, right? Miami does put up 26 points, but again, that game was 13-7 with 5 minutes left and kind of got that one little gifted touchdown there. Only put up 344 yards on that Florida defense, which isn't bad, but when you look at Carson Beck, 17-30 for 160 and one interception, it was kind of the Carson Beck we had seen in the past, right? But they did enough to win the game, and that's all that matters. I just say this to kind of when we look at Miami, right? Miami's defense looks pretty good. But I also want to see them against a good offense, right? Bethune-Cookman shows you nothing. Florida's offense is one of the, if not the worst in the country. South Florida, that's not a prolific offense, right? But it's not bad either. You should have beat them like you're supposed to, you know? And then you talk about, the Notre Dame game. You only put up 27 points on them. And so when we're talking about this Miami offense here, they are averaging 25.5 points per game against Power Four defenses, and both of those games were at home. And I know really right now for Miami fans, they're hanging their hat. Their version of our Alabama game is that Notre Dame game. But when we talk about Notre Dame, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter about, man, they cannot wait to run that DC out of South Bend on the first train coming out of town, because they are 118th in scoring defense. 118th, that defense is not doing good through their first three games of the season. So you put up 27 points on the 118th ranked defense at home. Purdue and Texas A&M have both put up more yards and more points than Miami did on Notre Dame's defense. So that defense is playing good, Miami's. But again, I'll be interested to see what they do against a better offense. I think Florida State's offense is probably going to be the best one they've faced so far this season. And then I'll be interested to see what that offense does as they continue to go down the road against good defenses, because at 25.5 points per game against Power Four defenses at home right now, you got to go on the road. You got to play Florida State. You know, I know you got the extra week to prepare there, but for me, when I look at that game, and again, we're not looking ahead, if Florida State can duplicate what Notre Dame and Florida did on defense and hold them to under 30 and you score 30 like you did against Alabama, I really like our chances. But, you know, when we talk about Miami and their schedule, right, there's been a lot of conversation about Florida State's schedule. And they conveniently, like I mentioned earlier, just glance right over that Alabama game like it never happened, or they try and downplay Alabama. Alabama's still a good team. We're going to find out what they are coming up in the next few weeks. But again, man, you've beaten a 1-2 Notre Dame team that their only win is against Purdue, who was terrible last year. You beat Bethune-Cookman, a 1-3 FCS team. You beat South Florida, who got hyped up for beating a bad UF team. And by the way, I know they beat Florida, but USF has 7 blue chip players. Miami has 45. You were supposed to win that game. Florida was never supposed to lose that game, right? And then you beat a bad Florida team who's 1-3 and the worst Florida team since 1986, right? So you're poking holes in the wrong schedule, right? Because we can turn around and do the same to you. You know what the old saying goes, if there's one finger pointing at you, there's four fingers or three fingers pointing the other way. So yeah, that schedule, it's just not been the greatest. Now, again, I don't want to take anything away from Miami. I think they have a good team. This is probably even better than last year when you factor in the defense. I know they don't have Cam Ward, but it's a good team. They're number two for a reason. That's going to be a monumental heavyweight bout next week in Tallahassee. But again, we got to get by Virginia first. So moving on, the next game that we're going to talk about here, whoo, man, things are, the dumpster is on fire in Clemson, South Carolina right now. The Tigers fall to 1-3 with a, what I'm calling a blowout loss to Syracuse, because this game was really never close. I mean, Syracuse took the lead early and they never looked back. They never trailed in this game. They were up 24-7 early in the second quarter. It was getting late early for Clemson in their own building. You know, I watched a lot of this game because I wanted to know what the heck is going on with Clemson. And we do play at Death Valley this year. I still think that's a difficult place to play. I don't know about by the time we get there. I don't know what their fan support and what their team's mental aspect is going to be like. But, you know, I watched this game because I thought it was just the offense that was the reason for the struggles. But that's not the case. The defense doesn't look right as well. Steven Jelly for Syracuse, and I hate to say that he did get hurt. He is out for the season. I hate that for him, and I hate that for the Syracuse team. But he was absolutely lighting up Clemson's defense. They were running the ball against his defense as well. And so, man, it's just both sides of the ball don't look well. They don't look well coached. They don't look well prepared. They commit a lot of penalties. I think they had back-to-back personal fouls, roughing the passer on two consecutive plays. It's just bad. And then even we talked about Steve Angeli getting hurt. Syracuse lost their starting quarterback in the third quarter, and it still didn't matter. The backup came in and threw an 18-yard touchdown pass, I think either the first or second play he was in the game. So, man, things are not going good for Clemson. This is their worst start since 2004 and the worst of the Dabo Swinney era. They've now allowed over 350 yards in 3 out of 4 games. Even Troy put up over 300 yards. Now, what's crazy about this game is they did put up 503 yards versus Syracuse, but they had 2 turnovers and 8 penalties. And even their offensive line, like I know Cade Klubnik is a mobile guy, so he's pretty good at avoiding sacks. I think they only got to him once. But Syracuse pressured Klubnik 24 times. That is a lot. That's a high number of pressures. But Clemson also is struggling to push the ball down the field. 1 of 9 on throws over 20 yards. And they had Antonio Williams back, which is what we heard was the missing piece and a big part of the struggles. Clemson only pressured Syracuse 14 times, but did get to them 4 times to have 4 sacks. So, man, it's just crazy that Clemson was – it's just crazy that Clemson was actually better in yards per play, success rate, and havoc rate and still lost the game. And so I just wonder where this team is mentally, because this is not something, you know, again, this is the worst start since 2004. Nobody on this team has had to deal with a start like this, right? Dabo has only had to deal with this one time. So I just wonder where they're at. I mean, you saw last week, Dabo comes out in the press conference like a cornered animal and gets asked about what play you want to take back against Georgia Tech and goes on a 13-minute rant about how good he is and how everybody should pat him on the back and let him know that, or else he might just leave because he's the greatest thing to ever happen to Clemson. It's just kind of a weird thing to come out with. But, you know, the thing about Clemson too, man, is this is the homegrown team, right? This is the guys they recruited. They refused to use the portal because they liked the guys they got. They had a lot of returning starters. We heard about all the NFL talent, Cade Klubnik and all this stuff. This is what they got out of it. So how does this get better, right? How does this get better? It's not like you're waiting on a bunch of portal pieces to kind of come together here. And really, when I look at this team, I tweeted this out on Saturday. This Clemson team gives me 2024 Florida State vibes. There is no reason for them to be this bad. To be this bad, you're 1-3, and your only win is against Troy. And it was a close game. You were trailing in that game. So, man, it's just crazy to see what's going on there in Clemson now. Of course, as Florida State fans, we're not going to cry over their struggles. We're going to celebrate it because we were there last year, and we know what it's like, and everybody kicked us when we were down. So you know, good on you, Clemson. But man, it's crazy to watch that happen up there and how bad they have been, because it's not like they've just been losing some close games. They don't look good at all. So we'll see how they bounce back. They should be able to get a win this week in the Who Sucks Less Bowl against North Carolina, which is probably going to be something like 10 o'clock on Cartoon Network. They just lost 34-9 against UCF. Man, that team, the dumpsters in Clemson, South Carolina, and Chapel Hill, North Carolina, are fully involved in flames right now. Things just not looking good. They also go to BC after that, who has been bad this season as well. So I think Clemson will end up getting to 500, and then we'll see how they respond after that. But I do think the way they've started, to me, it adds pressure to Florida State to go up there and win. Now, Michael disagreed with me on the postgame show on this. You know, he thinks it's still Clemson, that's still Death Valley. And I agree. I'm not saying that beating Clemson in Death Valley is not a tough thing to do and a tough place to play. But if Clemson looks like what they do now and they continue to do so, not only does that hand you an ACC loss, that is also a black eye on your schedule when you're talking about an at-large bid. It would have been like losing to Florida State last year. That doesn't mean it's a bad program. Doesn't mean Doak isn't a hard place to play. But in that particular season, it would have been considered a bad loss. So let me give you a quick stat before we move on from this game. That is almost mind-blowing when we talk about Clemson and Death Valley and the fact that we have to go up there. So from 2011, and if you think back, Clemson had their bad year under Dabo in 2010, where he thought he was going to get fired, and then after that, they flipped things, and they went on that crazy run, right? From 2011 to 2023 is when they really had their heyday. 2024, I know they won the conference and they made the playoffs last year, but you could really start to see the cracks in the foundation starting to emerge. From those years, those 12 years, from 11 to 23, they had 8 seasons where they did not lose a single game at home, not one. They only lost 5 games total from 2011 to 2023 at home. Only 5 losses at home. That is absolutely wild to think about. Had to be a great time to be a Clemson fan during those years. But they also have not lost multiple home games since 2010. Now, they did last year, but from 11 to 23, they had not lost multiple home games since 2010. In Clemson's last 5 home games dating back to last year, they are now 1-4. Their only win in Death Valley in those last 5 games was a 27-16 win over Troy that they trailed 16-3. So, man, I don't know what's going on there, but it is not going well. And so, man, we got to go up there later this year. Hopefully we can carry on the beatings that Clemson's been taking. But, man, we'll see. I'm sure they're going to get some things figured out. I'm sure they're going to get a little bit better. They got a couple wins, I think, in front of them. But we'll see, man. They have not looked good against any team with a pulse or even Troy. So we'll see how that one goes going forward. The next game, real quick, we're not really going to spend much time on it. Virginia Tech, they are on your schedule. They did play on Saturday. They do get their first win of the season. They did play an 0-4 FCS team, Wofford. They beat them 38-6. So, you know, good for Virginia Tech, good for that interim staff. Maybe it'll give them some momentum. But they go to NC State this week. I don't know that that's going to go much better. So not a whole lot to talk about there, but they do get their first win of the season. Now, the next one here that's relevant to us that happened on Saturday was NC State went to Duke and got upset in this game. This was one I thought NC State was going to win. They actually jumped out to an early 20-7 lead, and Duke stormed right back and closed the game out and won. North Carolina State falls to 3-1. Duke is now 2-2 on the season. And, you know, NC State's always a pretty tough team. Carter Finley is a pretty tough place to play, at least for Florida State. That's kind of our snake pit there. But this game was crazy, right? I mean, when you look at it, how NC State actually lost this game, because we're also talking about a Duke team here that got whooped by Illinois. And Illinois just got absolutely destroyed by Indiana. Then Duke backed that up with a loss to Tulane as well, the team that they took their quarterback from and then got beat by them. So Duke has been a pretty good team the last few years, right? They're not the Duke of old, but it's still Duke, right? And so NC State should have won this game because they outgained Duke by over 100 yards, and they still put up 535 yards. Duke also had 100 yards in penalties. So how do you lose this game? You turn the ball over 4 times. That's how you lose it, because NC State just kept giving the ball away. C.J. Bailey, who's a pretty good quarterback, I'll give him that, threw three interceptions in this game. Now, NC State does have a good running back, Hollywood Smothers. He did put up 123 yards in this game. But, man, the difference besides the turnovers in this game is NC State's defense, which is kind of what they've been known for a long time, is just doesn't look the same, right? They have given up 31, 24, which was to Wake Forest, and 45 points in their last three games versus ACC opponents. Like I said, they've given up over 400 yards in three of their four games so far this season. They ditched the 3-3-5 when the defensive coordinator moved, and I think they run a 4-2-5 now, and it's not gone super well for them. But again, their offense is pretty good, so we'll see how that goes. But, you know, again, another loss, a kind of an unexplainable loss there for NC State. So, again, we got to go up there on the road to Carter-Finley later this year. We'll see how that thing goes. Now, let's talk about just some other games around the country that were interesting over this past weekend. Texas Tech rolls Utah 34-10. Indiana curb stomps Illinois 63-10. You know, for everything they say about Kurt Cignetti and playing the soft, Charmin soft schedule that he does, and he deserves all the credit for it that he does, or all the flaming that he does for that. I mean, when you beat the top 10 team by 53 points, that's doing something. You can kind of say whatever you want after that. Georgia Tech blows out Temple 45-24. Now, we don't play Georgia Tech. And what's interesting here, too, when we talk about Georgia Tech, the same as we talk about LSU, right? Both of these teams got vaulted up the rankings for beating Clemson. Well, how good does that win look now? And that's why I think when we talk about rankings and we talk about resume and all this stuff, it's just so hard to know early in the season what teams are going to be, what that strength. This is why I like that I don't like much about the playoff committee, but this is the one thing I like, why they don't put out rankings, I think, until it's something like week 8 or week 6 or something like that. It's way later in the schedule because you have a chance to figure out what these teams are. You know, we've seen Alabama look good since their loss. We've seen Clemson look terrible since their loss. And yet LSU is still ranked above Florida State. So things like that don't make sense. They struggled against Louisiana Tech. Their offense is not playing well there. So that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is Georgia Tech also got that bump from beating a bad Clemson team. But they go and they blow out Temple 45-24. And we don't play Georgia Tech. But the reason I'm talking about them is because when you look at the remaining ACC schedule, I think they're going to be a contender for Charlotte. They go to Wake. They get Virginia Tech at home. They go to Duke. Then they get Syracuse at home, who, by the way, does not have their starting quarterback anymore. They go at NC State, at BC, and home versus Pitt. So that's a manageable schedule, right? So they're going to be a team. You know, a lot of the whole trip to Charlotte, now that we take the two top teams from the record perspective and not the divisions, a lot of it has to do with your scheduling, right? Florida State draws Clemson, who I know is bad this year, but you draw Clemson, you draw Miami, you draw some of the tougher ACC teams. And yet some of these guys completely avoid all the big boys, and that's kind of where they are this year. So we're going to need them to probably drop a game or two along the way. One here that has no relevance to us, but I thought was kind of crazy to watch, is Michigan beats Nebraska. Nebraska, man, tough times up there in Lincoln. They are now 0-29 versus ranked teams. Last win versus ranked team was 2016. That's tough sledding there, right? Especially when it's a Michigan team with a temporary interim coach while their coach is suspended, comes in there and beats you. Memphis knocks off Arkansas. As I mentioned, Memphis is a team I think the ACC should contact and see if they can get them to join the league. I know they were interested in joining the Big 12. Big 12 kind of turned them down. They'd be crazy not to go call them with what that program's doing right now. TCU beats SMU. SMU might have been a little bit of a flash in the pan last year. You know, I don't think they've lost an ACC game yet, but the games that they're losing, it's just clearing the path for Florida State. So you want them to continue to drop a couple games there. And then the last one here is Cal got absolutely smacked. None of us probably stayed up to watch this game, but they got smacked 34-0 against San Diego State. Now, we need them to continue to lose because Cal had started 3-0 and they had a freshman phenom quarterback. Everybody was starting to hype up Cal. They have one of the easiest remaining ACC schedules out there. And so that's the thing when you talk about Cal and this loss, you need them to continue to take losses because you basically just want a lot of these teams that maybe they're not as good as you. You want them to be able to clear the path for Florida State and not get in just because they didn't play anybody good. Like SMU last year, they played a pretty weak ACC schedule in week one. Their toughest challenge was supposed to be Florida State, who fell off a cliff and didn't do good. So when we talk about Cal here, they go to Boston College, Duke at home, North Carolina at home, to Virginia Tech. Virginia comes to Cal, and then they get at Louisville, at Stanford, and finish with SMU at home. So we're going to need them to take a couple losses to kind of clear the path for Florida State. But that's going to be it for the games that we're talking about this week that are relevant to Florida State. We got a big week coming up again. Florida State takes on Virginia on that Friday night. We're going to be going up to that game. So we will be bringing you coverage live from Charlottesville. You also have Penn State, Oregon on Saturday. You have Georgia, Alabama on Saturday. There are so many good games coming up this weekend for us to watch. So we'll be doing this show again on Monday, talking about all those games, the big national games, the ones that are relevant to Florida State. Of course, you guys, like I said, keep in mind we are going to have a full-on UVA preview that we're recording tomorrow. Should be out on Wednesday, Thursday morning at the latest. We'll have our preview article written up soon as well. So make sure you guys check that out on our website at plantthespear.com. Make sure you guys follow us on social media. Look, it is about to be hate week, Florida State, Miami. I promise you. We're going to talk some smack, right? We're going to talk a little bit of trash on social media. We're going to have some fun with it. So make sure you're following us over there. Plant the Spear 1 on Twitter and Plant the Spear everywhere else on Facebook, Instagram, and I believe we're on Threads too. So make sure you guys follow us on social media. Check that out. Like and subscribe to stay connected to your source for fan-driven FSU content. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans as well. So, guys, that's going to do it for this one. I really appreciate you joining me for this episode and for watching. And as always, we will catch you on the next one. As always, go Noles.